And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We broadcast on the radio Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Monday mornings at 1 a.m. and do stream live at those times. Then we podcast the programs not only at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, but SoundCloud and iTunes. And on the homepage of richarddugan.com, there is the 2018 player playlist. As well as an opportunity for you, should you choose to support the program in whatever way you can. We do have a PayPal account that receives those kinds of supporting contributions, if you will. We are not nonprofit, okay? So it is not tax deductible. I'm sorry about that. I can't afford to go nonprofit. How about that? I am so nonprofitable that I can't afford to go nonprofit. But that's a whole other subject for another time. Maybe we'll have a guest on who can work, take me through the steps on a metaphysical level of making that all happen. Be that as it may, if you can support us, hey, thank you so much. We are grateful for those who have done it so far in the past and for those who will do it in the future. And we'll take energetic support as well. Send us good energy, good support, good vibes, if you will. We can use those as well. I was going to start the program out with an interesting audio clip from one of my favorite satirists, Stan Freberg. He put out a double album back in, I think it was the 70s. It was called The United States of America, The Early Years. And there was a scene in there where Columbus and King Ferdinand were landing on the shores of America, supposedly. And the Indians were there. And he was chatting away about how they needed to do this, that, and the other thing. And suddenly, the Indian chief asks him, "You have a dream?" To which he responds, "Yes, I do." So the Indian chief replies, "Would you like to talk about it?" Well, we are going to talk about it today. And we encourage you to stay with us here on the program. Don't ask me where that came from. It just, ideas come to my head and out they come. I do try to be tactful and respectful in the process, but we are going to have a woman on the program who's going to share with us about dream analysis. Lanny Dolphin is my guest. She is a woman who can... Lanny, is it correct to say that you interpret someone's dreams?
No.
Aha! So no. Let's get that correct and straight from the start for the listeners that you do not, if they were to contact you, you're not going to interpret their dream.
No, I'm not, but I am going to ask the right questions and they are going to tell me what the dream is about, not me tell them.
Okay. First of all, thank you for joining us on the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you for inviting me. And it's Lainey.
Lainey.
Like from Seinfeld.
Lainey, that's right. Lainey, I remember that. You also have a couple of books out as well. They're companion pieces. Have a Great Dream, basically decoding your dreams to discover your full potential. And one of them is, I believe it's the workbook, and then there's just the text, if you will, I guess, to help people to understand some of the concepts in their own dreams.
That kind of changed too along the way. And so what was the workbook is now called Book One, The Overview. And the larger book is called Book Two, A Deeper Discussion. Because if you want to know how to do it in 100 pages, including the pictures, then pick up Book One, The Overview, which in some places is still known as the workbook, but it doesn't matter. It's the same book, and it teaches you in a short period of time how to understand why you had that dream last night.
Well, we always like to be taken down the correct path, and so we'll make those corrections, book one and two. The workbook is one, and the text, if you will, is two. And they are, you know, the workbook is only 112 pages. That's that is including the pictures. I'm going to start out, and I didn't give this to you before, and I'm not going to ask you to take me through a particular dream, because I have to tell you, when we first spoke, I'm going to say over a month ago, before this interview, I was going to remember a dream, and I was going to write it down, and I was going to send the information to you, and we were going to chat about it, or you were going to go through the process that you go through, and then we were going to chat about it before we went on the program. Since we talked, I haven't remembered a single dream. Now, I will tell you that 2 days prior to this interview, I had an audible, okay? And it was a number. And I seem to recall that it was associated, I think it was associated with money in the context of prosperity and abundance on my part. And that number was 800,000. And I thought, if that's $800,000, I can handle that. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And then I kept thinking, well, maybe it's closer to $1 million. No, and I thought, no, stay with the number. Stay. And I thought, well, that's not a lottery number, so I can't play that.
Right.
But when we get these kinds of impressions, are they still under that same category of, and pardon me for using air quotes, a dream?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
You're saying that you woke up in the morning, you didn't remember a dream, but you did remember the number. And the reason, whatever it is that you remember, that you do remember, when you wake up, you're remembering it because you were just discussing it with yourself in the dream. The dream at the first level is the conversation that you are having with yourself concerning a very specific current issue in your waking life that you are attempting to problem solve. And the great news is that the solution appears in your dream. And if you understand the metaphor, the language of metaphor, you put yourself in an incredible opportunity to escape your repetitive and tired responses that you may be accustomed to using, I mean, since your childhood, because that's kind of what happens is we get conditioned as children to respond to situations in a certain way, which I'll explain better in a couple of minutes. But the point is we develop these knee-jerk reactions that we have, and they may not be appropriate to the specific current issue that you're attempting to problem solve. So what I do at the first goal is to help the dreamer uncover what situation is going on in your life this week that triggered this morning's dream. And then I ask you a series of questions based on six basic points of entry. And once you click on what situation triggered the dream, then I teach people how to understand what a solution looks like when it comes in the form of a metaphor. And we could look at those six points of entry if you like.
I have no problem doing that. I will let you know that this is, to me, very, very fascinating stuff. And I want to encourage people to go to your website. Would you please, Lainey, give us that website?
The website has the same name as the books. It's called haveagreatdream.com.
Folks,
and I call it all Have a Great Dream because every dream is a great dream, especially nightmares.
We'll get into that as well, because some people feel like they're living a nightmare, depending upon the way they perceive their outer world. And, you know, maybe we can get into that as far as dreams helping us to better cope with the real world, at least as far as we see it. All right. So let's, and again, because all I am recalling, I don't remember any images or anything of this name, nothing in this vein, nothing visual. All I remember is the number. And somehow I don't know if it's conscious, intentional, or subconscious, but somehow I seem to think that it is associated with money, with prosperity, with abundance,
right?
Because I've really been working on that very hard in this past year.
Right. And I never argue with a dreamer and their associations. Because, no, I really mean it. Because when ever since we're born, every single memory and association that you have ever had since you're born is recorded in that vast database called your unconscious. And for those of us that are over 50, I call it a filing cabinet.
Ah.
And when you want to say something to yourself, that filing cabinet or database opens up. And even though the situation at the first level is about something that's going on in your life this week, you will open up the filing cabinet and you'll choose memories and associations that fit perfectly something you're trying to say to yourself. And actually, Richard, you already revealed to us what $800,000 means to you. You've already told us, so we don't have to analyze the dream because you already analyzed it.
Ah.
You associate the number with money. You associate it with abundance. And you clearly made a distinction. And I'm not sure what that's about. And I'm about to ask you what that's about. But you clearly made a distinction that $800,000 is a darn good number that you'd be very happy with. And it's not a million. It's not. You made that distinction between a million and 800,000. So if that was my dream, because I can only project from my own personal associations and memories, and I could say to you, if that was my dream, that would be me preparing myself not to have the biggest expectation. So I'm not looking for a million, but that I'd be so satisfied to reach for 800,000. That to me would be a chunk, a nice chunk of success. And but it wouldn't be overstepping or overreaching.
Well, and the reason why it's not a million is because I was thinking, okay, 800,000, but gee, why don't I just go ahead and make it a million? But that's not what I heard. And it's also been taught to me over the years when it comes to dealing in, shall we say, our intuitive selves and even the subconscious. You always go with the first thing that comes.
I agree.
You don't start thinking. If you start thinking about it, then you screw it up. Okay? And it's not to say that if I start thinking about it and say, oh, no, let's make it a million, I would necessarily screw it up. But it's just what I heard was 800,000. And then, of course, my thinking mind goes, okay, 800,000. That's way over 10 years salary at the present rate, way over 10 years. And if I played my cards right and I did what I should do with it, you know, all my debts wiped out, we would still have more than enough to where we could do some of the present day things we've dreamed about, you know, right now, and still have more than enough to put into a safe, moderate return investment that we would not have to worry about and that would serve us, you know, for years to come. So
well, there you go. It's called a basic Freudian wish dream.
Yeah. And I thought, that, okay. And then I thought, okay, well, what about the eight? All right. Well, the eight, that's a symbol of infinity. I know that in numerology, it means something too, and I can't recall what it is. But yeah, and it feels right. When I was, for example, when I was, I would drop my wife off at the clinic and every so often I would step on the scale, you know, just to see how I was doing. And I reached 200 pounds. I'm only 5'9". And I reached 200 pounds. Now, it wasn't the weight that was uncomfortable. It was the number. I said, that's not me. As of this interview, the last time yesterday that I weighed myself, 186, and I'm not even trying. I'm not on a diet. I'm just doing some modifications, doing some different things, but it's not like, oh, I better get to buy the Atkins book or the, you know, losing 60 pounds in 3 days book kind of stuff. You know, it's just, it's like my father said, eat, drink, and be merry in moderation because no one gets out of this world alive.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about the dreams of family and friends. My wife often share, I'm not going to share with you her dreams because she would be the one to have to describe it, but she has often shared with me dreams that she's had with brothers, sisters, mother, father, other relatives. And though the real world experiences weren't always the greatest, these dreams were. They were wonderful encounters with these people that were in her life years ago. What about those kinds of dreams of non-strangers, of people we knew who have actually passed on? Are they actually inhabiting those dreams, or is it our subconscious that is helping us to, shall we say, make peace with those maybe past experiences?
Well, I think what I need to do here, Richard, so we don't get sort of off track,
okay,
is give you the backdrop, and I'll leave the points of entry until a little later.
Okay.
And I'm going to go a little bit deeper instead.
Sure.
And give you a right backdrop so you understand where I'm coming from, mm-hmm, and why I do dream analysis, the real prize that you get.
Yeah, I was going to get there later, but no, go ahead. Go ahead.
When you're born whole. Because in order to answer your question properly, I'd rather give you the background so that then it's going to click for everybody. When you're born, you come into the world whole. You have the potential. I love to call it potential. To be selfish, to be giving, to be shy or assertive. Maybe you're the hero. Maybe you're a chicken. You could be maybe the comedian in the family or a more serious person. Maybe you're an initiator and you're the one who always initiates with your friends to get together. And maybe you're always on the receiving end. And so we come into the world whole with a plethora of potential and possibility. And the people that bring us up teach us that it's better to be one way than another way. And so actually, I'm going to use myself as an example. I was brought up by European parents. My father was Romanian, and my mom, even though she was born in Canada, I call her a European parent because she was brought up by European parents. So, for example, when I was 6 or 7 years old, and my late father was an absolute darling, but he also had a really bad temper. And when I was 6 or 7, if he was yelling at me, excuse me, I couldn't look up at him and say to him, excuse me, I don't really like how you're talking to me right now, because in my family, that would have been considered very disrespectful, and I would have probably ended up in my bedroom. So I learned to become what Frederick Perls called underinvested in speaking up and overinvested in shutting up. So those are the parts of me that I like to call it over-exercised. I became over-exercised in shutting up and under-exercised in speaking up. And so what happens, and that's what happens to all of us, we develop these knee-jerk habitual responses to life situations. And so when I was 40, when I turned 40, I'm 66, by the way. And so 26 years ago, I was studying dream analysis at the Alfred Adler Institute, and when I was 40, that was the same year my dad died, and I was also exercising my voice. And one night, I had a disagreement with my husband, Andy, who, by the way, is also such a sweet guy. He would take the shirt off his back for you, but he also has a big temper, and he raised his voice at me. And what did I do? Nothing. I stood there with my knee-jerk reaction. Instead of being 40, I was like 6 or 7. And that night, I went to sleep, and I dreamt about an aunt of mine who I loved so dearly and who had already passed on about 15 years before that. And so using a symbol's point of entry, this is one of the points of entry, using the symbols, I asked myself very quickly, what are the first 2 or 3 things that come to my mind when I think about her? And the first thing that came to my mind was she had such a big mouth. She was probably the most assertive person I ever met in my life. So the dream presents polarities often. And because I'm all the way over on one side saying absolutely nothing to a guy who's yelling at me, my unconscious is going to produce for me in my filing cabinet the most assertive person I know. And that's because my unconscious is encouraging me to access some part of that unfamiliar, under-exercised, Jung would have called it my shadow, that part of myself that's under-exercised. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not here to tell you that change is easy, but I am absolutely here to tell you that change is definitely possible. And what you can do is take the images from the dream, because she represents that potential that I was born with to speak up for myself, and I need to exercise it the same exact way that I would exercise a muscle for the first time in the gym. And knowing that, I woke up the next morning. I'm not going to become a big mouth like her overnight, but I am going to access some of that potential. And when we woke up the next day, I went to Andy and I said to him, Andy, I was really uncomfortable that you yelled at me last night. It makes me feel like I'm 6 years old with my dad again, and I don't really want to feel that. And so that was my first time in the gym, exercising that muscle. And as you exercise it over and over again, like, for example, this story is 26 years old, and I could tell you I've been exercising that muscle for 26 years. And I think the last time Andy raised his voice at me was probably somewhere between 20 and 22 years ago. Because when you change, because you are the only person that you have the power of changing, you cannot change someone else. But what happens is when you exercise different parts of yourself that are sleeping and you start to use them in situations, the people around you automatically change. Because, you know, even with my brother and my sisters, it was no longer, you know, or friends, that people would think that they could get away with something because they could do something and Lainey's not going to speak up. Mm. Because once you exercise that, and that's what I mean when I say you put yourself in a very comfortable and powerful position when you can stand back from a situation and make a decision about how you want to respond to people and situations in your life. And dream analysis gives you that. Long answer to your question about why deceased people show up in your dreams. And I also just want to add this caveat. I will say to you that, and now that we're just talking about my dad, I'll stay with him to say to you that when I have to go speak somewhere, like I'm leaving to New York next week to go speak, and when I have to get on the plane to go away from my kids, my grandchildren, and my husband, so I'm leaving my maternal side, as might be represented by my stay-at-home mom. So I won't dream about her. I might dream about my father, because he represents that business male side of myself. And that's who I need to access to get on the plane and go away from the family. But how do you and I know that it's not also really my dad visiting me? Mm. So in business, I am using a problem-solving psychological approach about teaching people why you had that dream and how to propel your problem-solving skills. But in a personal way, I happen to be a spiritual person, and I think that our unconscious mind is so sophisticated, it would blow you over. And so I think we multitask, and it could be that I'm accessing that male energy that I need to get on the plane. And I also think that easily it could be my dad visiting me. Why not?
Mm, absolutely. Very interesting. And I'm going to share something real quick with you before we go to break, because it was quite profound at the time that it happened. A dear friend of ours back in 2003 moved into our home from across the street where he was living. He lost the lease on the property, on the house that he was renting, and didn't really have any place to go. So we said, well, why don't you move in? We got an extra room and, you know, you can stay here until you find another place. And so he took us up on it. Well, he ended up passing away in our home on October 10th of 2003. And we were planning a trip to Ireland that January, late January into February, to coincide with my wife's birthday that year. And as a matter of fact, though I certainly would have been on board with this, my wife told me that she was going to invite him to go along with us. You know, in any event, I remember after his passing, between those two events, his passing and our trip, I had another one of those audible dreams, and it was his voice, and his voice said, "Don't say anything bad in front of Bridget." And I'm thinking, what? What? But it stayed with me. So there we are. We are on the Aran Islands, in on the west coast off of Galway. And we're walking through one of the cemeteries, and I'm taking pictures of all kinds of different things. I found what I jokingly said was the first wheel ever made because it looked so old and it was so rustic. My wife comes over to me, says, "You need to come over here." And I said, "Okay, sure." So she said, "Look at this tombstone." It was a flat concrete tombstone, flat on the ground. She says, "Read it." And when I read it, I put my hand over my mouth and I walked away. Because the graves, now my wife's maiden name is McDonough. The tombstone was of a Bridget McDonough. And I thought, wow, finally, those two, that audible dream had something to it. And it was so funny. And it wasn't like my wife and I were, I had said something. Maybe I had spoken too gruffly to her. And so we were having a little tiff on the trip or anything. No, we were doing great. But it was just that moment of standing before this tombstone of Bridget and remembering, don't say anything bad in front of her.
Right. Well, I would propose that because I've been doing this for 45 years, mm-hmm. and it's very rare if the dreamer is answering the questions that I'm posing, if they're answering in an honest way. Mm-hmm. I've hardly ever seen a dream that is not addressing a very specific current issue that you are trying to problem solve this week. Mm-hmm. So I'm not talking about other things that are going on, because, I mean, we could say in the example that I just gave you with Andy,
yeah.
that at the first level, the dream was about it, and it was about the argument that I was having with him and about me accessing my ability to speak up for myself. That's true. But if I want to look deeper into the dream, then I could take that feeling or that wondering about where does that come from that I stand there and I don't respond, mm-hmm. when, if someone is speaking rude to me, where does that come from? And then that could, in solution getting and dream analysis, I might find that by using Freud's free association to think about how is this situation that happened to me today? What does it remind me of? Where in my past, in my childhood, what does this remind me of? And then it takes you into your past where you might be able to nail the link to why you're responding to today's situation the way you are. Where does it come from? And as an adult, you can revisit if you think that you're satisfied with that. Because in my world, there's no good or bad. There's no right or wrong. There's appropriate or inappropriate. Is the dreamer responding to today's situation in the appropriate way? And so when we are problem solving, we are using memories and associations from our past, from our present. Sometimes it's something that you watched on TV last night and you're bringing that into the dream because it's helping you say something to yourself about this problem that you're trying to solve. And sometimes we even use memories from the future. And so what you're talking about, again, is the multitasking idea that I was talking about, that there are things going on simultaneously. And I guess you had a little bit of ESP about, about the name Bridget, and you brought that to yourself. But I would still say that that day that you had that dream back in 2003, and where you said to yourself, don't say anything bad in front of Bridget, that you were using that metaphor to say something to yourself about something that was going on that week.
Mm. Okay, and so not pinpointing it to a specific moment, but maybe a period in time at that time. Interesting.
You used a memory from the future. Maybe, if it was my dream, and then I used a memory from the future and I found out that Bridget is a relation of my wife's family, maybe I would be asking myself, I'd be staying present about behaving in a nice way to my wife, especially in front of her family. Was any of her family there in Ireland?
No, it was just she and I. And if there were family in Ireland, we weren't aware. We actually did try to do some research to find family and friends and maybe the location where, say, either the Dugans or the McDonoughs came from, what part of Ireland. But we never got that far. We just were there. We were just there to have a good time and get away from work and
right.
And be somewhere that I never ever thought I would ever go to Ireland once, let alone twice. It was fantastic. We're going to continue our conversation here, and we're going to talk more about the work that you do and this whole aspect of decoding dreams to discover our full potential. Again, a reminder that you can go to haveagreatdream.com. We will be linked to that. And Eleni Dalfin is our guest, and we are going to continue our conversation here on AM on the Tell Me Your Story radio program, bringing you new paradigms for a new world. Stay tuned. And welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. New paradigms for a new world, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. There you go. How about that? I'm wondering, Eleni Dalfin, who is the author of a couple of books here, book one and two, Have a Great Dream. We ask you to go to the website as well, .com, haveagreatdream.com. As far as dreams go, when you do this kind of decoding, as you like to call it, and I think that's an appropriate way to put it, are we talking specifically about those dreams that we have in the sleep state? I know I sort of alluded to this at the beginning of the program, or are we also talking about daydreams, or are those more things that we are literally saying to ourselves that we would like to have happen? Let's define what dreams you're talking about versus all of the different types of dreams that we as human beings have.
Right. I'm talking about REM sleep.
Okay.
I'm talking about REM sleep and daydreams are really not different, because I mean, you're more conscious when you're having a daydream, but it's still thoughts. Dreaming is just thinking. But the only difference between thinking during the day and thinking at night is that during the day, you're very distracted. And so there's the lights are on and you're thinking about who you have to go see. And then the phone rings and then you have to go pee and then you have to scratch your head and then your friend calls you. And so there's all this stuff going on. And when you go to sleep at night, all the distraction disappears and you actually get to see what you're thinking. And we speak to ourselves not only in the language, but we also use the language of metaphor in order to say something to ourselves. So, for example, if there's something about the sound of my voice, the tone or my intonation that reminds you of a teacher that you had in grade 10, you don't realize it, but that your unconscious is flashing a picture of that teacher right now. And then you'll go to sleep tonight and you'll dream about that teacher and say, what the heck was that? And it might be because you're processing this discussion and you're using me as a metaphor based on something about my intonation that reminds you of that person.
Okay. And the difference between all of that and, say, those deja vu moments, I called them slides, and they, for me, they tell me that I'm on the right track. Now, I don't always get them because obviously I must be going on the right in the right direction. But when I maybe go a little off track, I'll get these images. And when I was seven years of age, I had a day. Every time I turned around, it's like, I've been here before. I've seen this before. And see, there's another thing that you sort of alluded to, and I'm curious about this. If we've never been someplace and suddenly we realize I've been here before, but there's not in this lifetime, I've never been here before.
Right. I'm not an ESP expert.
No, I understand.
I specifically work with helping people deconstruct the images that you use when you're trying to say something to yourself. And so my only explanation, because I have zero expertise in this, except that it happens to me constantly. And of course, I believe in all that stuff. And I believe I think we're using a very small piece. What is it? 10% of our brain that we're using. And so I'm a big proponent about, like Carl Jung said, about consulting, my whole mind when making a decision. I like to consult my whole self. But these kind of things that you're talking about have to do with ESP.
Okay.
And I think that ESP, I think we all have capabilities. And I have so much synchronicity in my life that it's just enough to knock your socks off. It's just miraculous. And I love it. I just love it. It's not what I do, but it's not that I don't appreciate it, because, at a certain point a couple of years ago, it was just so miraculous how things fit for me sometimes that I actually wanted to sit down and start collecting, the beginnings of a book by just collecting all these incredible things that happen from synchronicity. I think it's Albert Einstein that said there is no time is moving at the same speed into the future as it is from the past. There is no time in the unconscious. You're in another realm. And so that's what's happening, is you're choosing memories that really are related to the future.
Interesting.
I just want to give you 5 points of entry so the listeners come away knowing how to do it.
Please.
Okay, so when the one point of entry, which is sometimes the easiest and sometimes it just doesn't work, trying to uncover why you had that dream last night is the exact same thing as doing a puzzle. You try one piece, that one doesn't fit, so you take it out, you try another. And so that's what the points of entry are. So the first point of entry is the feelings. And it's like a dance. You go inside the dream, outside the dream. So inside the dream, you ask the dreamer, how did you feel in the dream? So here's an example of someone who knew how he felt. This man who dreamt that his wife of 25 years was cheating on him. And so he nailed the feeling. He said, I feel betrayed. And then you come outside the dream and you ask yourself, what situation happened this week in my life that's making me feel a similar way? And for him, it was the fact that he had a client who he had for the same 25 years who had taken his business somewhere else. So the feeling of betrayal, he used the metaphor of his wife cheating on him to try and encourage him to speak up. Because I asked him, and if you really did find your wife cheating, what would you do? Would you stand there saying nothing? Like, what would you do? And he said, oh, my God, I would speak up. And so the dream provides a rehearsal. It puts you in a position to give you, as Alfred Adler would have said, it gives rise to an emotion to help you move forward towards the goal. And in this case, it was about calling up that client that he had for 25 years and talking about it. So another point of entry is the action. And that's where you hear people say, oh, I was trying to run, but my feet wouldn't work. You know, and I've heard lots of those dreams before. And then I will ask the dreamer, why? Is there some situation in your life that you're trying to run away from? And maybe the dream is, helping you stand still and stay with it instead of running away? Or is it a situation that you are standing still for and you need to be running away? And is the dream giving you a rehearsal to run? And so you always want to check with the dreamer, but there's still points of entry that you can use. And symbols and metaphors are very unique to each of us. And so you can't look it up in one of those dream dictionary books. Like, for example, Richard, why don't you tell me, what are the first two or three things that come to your mind when you think about a cat? Like, do you like them?
I do. I have five.
Oh my God. I asked you the right question.
As a matter of fact,
five cats.
Yeah. An interesting side note is that I have a camera, a video camera set up that I can access via the internet on an app on my phone. And I was looking at them yesterday. They were all laying on the male cats were all laying on the bed yesterday. I sent a picture of it to my wife and she sent back a laughing emoji, because it is so hilarious to see these guys just lounging. But that's what cats do. But yeah, I love them. I think of the whiskers and also I don't want to say prize cat in the context of, you know, prize winning, but he's special to me. He's what I call my surprise cat, because he was a surprise to me when my wife brought him home. His name is Ryan. He's a yellow and white. I call him a tuxedo kitty, but he's got the yellow and white fur.
So you've just defined what cats are in your dictionary.
Yeah.
And you might dream about a cat, specifically Ryan might come into your dream if something happened this week that surprised you.
Yeah.
And my daughter, Emma Jo, she absolutely adores cats, but they're not good for her. She can't stay near them because she's highly allergic and she becomes claustrophobic. They're not good for her. So she might dream about a cat if she's going out with a guy who she thinks she's in love with, but really he's not good for her. And her unconscious might choose to use the image of a cat to help her understand her intuition is telling her. And for me, I find cats very aloof and independent, and I'm not sure I'm that comfortable with it because I'm more a dog kind of affectionate person. And so when I dream about a cat, I'm going to ask myself, A, who in my life this week is behaving in a particularly aloof and independent way, and I'm not that comfortable with it, or, because maybe the cat is the solution to my issue, and maybe it's me who needs to be behaving in a more aloof and independent way. Maybe I need to access the cat in me.
Yeah. That actually brings to mind one of the cartoons in your book. There are two dogs. One is sitting upright. The other is reclining on a couch. And the first dog, must be a therapist, says to the second dog, "I'll bark. Then you bark the first thing that comes to mind." I'm also a dog person because we have a big black King Shepherd named Angus. And also, we just laid to rest my beautiful white Shepherd Husky mix, Makushla, back on the 12th of October. And it was really an interesting period of time, and not just that period, but also just the overall life. And that's what I think about. I have posted on my website a link. People can go see some videos of my girl at work training Angus, because we received him into our family and he was only 8 weeks old. And so she's training him as a puppy, and I'm seeing a lot of the various characteristics of a mother, but she never had any pups, And yet there she was raising this, this puppy. I haven't had any real dreams of her yet. I'm waiting for those. But I wanted to ask you in regards to that. I know that they say, scientists say, that we all dream.
Yes, well, dreaming is just thinking. And so, yes, of course, whether you remember them or not, you are still dreaming. You don't go to sleep at night and a big curtain comes down and all of a sudden your brain goes dead. You still continue thinking. And what I try and do is lift the curtain, so the way you're thinking during the day and the way you're thinking at night becomes a little bit more fluid. I don't want to finish without telling you that my favorite point of entry is play on words and puns.
Oh, yes.
And the same way as we use play on words and puns constantly in our waking life, we are famous for using them constantly in our dreams. And so when a dreamer is telling me a dream, I'm always sitting with a pen and paper writing like a maniac because I want to capture the dreamer's language. So, for example, one woman said, there were snakes all over the floor. I couldn't put my foot down. And to which I responded, why? Who are you having trouble putting your foot down with? You see?
Yeah.
Or I'll get dreamers saying, oh, I had to go to the washroom in the dream. And I found a washroom and I went into the stall and I couldn't get out of the stall, which has me asking, what do you think you're stalling about this week? So that's why you have to listen to the dreamer. Or another favorite of mine is a man who was dreaming that he had his hand down the carburetor in his sink. And it was full of watermelon rind, and he was looking for a key inside the watermelon rind, and it turned out to be about the fact that he was feeling in the pits. Get it?
Oh, my God. Yes, I got it.
Isn't
I got
that
it.
Great? I love that stuff because, or even if you have to watch your language, because if you say things like, I was so embarrassed, I thought I was going to die. If you talk like that, you might go to sleep tonight and dream that you're dying. And it's not that you're dying, it's that you're processing an event that embarrassed you, where you embarrassed yourself, you see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get you. That makes all it makes perfect sense. It really does. And it's to me, it's really fascinating. And when we are able to... when we are able to look at our dreams in that way so that we can maybe, because the process of our lives has to do, as we've talked on this program with many of our guests, has to do with better understanding who we are.
That's right. And for every moment, this is what I say in the book, and it's probably my personal most important message is that for every moment that you are looking in to change something about yourself, which you do have the power to change, for every moment that you spend looking in, you are spending the exact same amount of time not looking out at trying to change somebody else. And in these times of such incredible division between people, dream analysis is an unbelievable opportunity to tap into how different all of us are from each other. So it really is the antithesis of groupthink to get in touch with, you know, what the personalness and the uniqueness, like we are as unique as our fingerprint, the way we associate things and the way we think. And so this, I love this concept of looking in with a view towards understanding and changing inside yourself to, you know, in the book, in my second book, I don't even golf, but I call it playing a different game on the back nine, because I played it the first 40 years in the way my parents' perception of who I was supposed to be. And now I'd like to spend the next 40 years taking back all those parts of myself that I was born with so that I can respond appropriately to whatever waking life situation or person is happening in my life this week. And what you get, like the prize you get for taking back all these parts of yourself and playing a different game on the back nine is what Jung called individuation, or what Freud called maturation. That's what maturing is becoming your own self, not somebody else's perception of who you need to be, but your perception of who you want to be.
And I know that can be quite a challenge because we have, you know, over the course of our lives from childhood, we've started to put up those walls and create those masks and for a lot of different reasons. And so it can be quite a challenge. And so when those dreams do pop up, they can be extremely valuable. When we don't remember the dream, and again, whether you remember it or not, there's no judgment whatsoever. It's neither right nor wrong. But when we don't remember our dreams, is there a reason? Is it like, okay, I really don't need to remember that because the message wasn't maybe necessary or relevant for the time? Because the way you describe it, it doesn't make any difference. If you remember the dream, preferably, there's a reason for it.
Anyway.
Yeah, you're going to get it anyway.
You're going to get it, because, of course, we all decide what we want to do about something. We all make our decisions. Whether you remember your dreams or you don't, you're making the decision anyway. Like that woman who dreamt that she had the most adorable little puppy, and she put the puppy up on the table in front of her, so excited that she made the decision to get this little puppy. And all of a sudden, the dog poos all over the table, all over her. And so it turned out to be about the job that she had just gotten that she was so excited about. And after she was there about 2 or 3 days, she realized that she was working for a really abusive boss who was pooing all over her, literally, right? And so what I did is, because sometimes the way you find the solution is to take the picture of the dream and bringing it out into your waking life and making a decision about how would you solve the problem if that happened in your waking life. And that's what I asked her. What would you do if you really did have a brand new puppy and it pooed all over you and all over the table? What would you do? She said, well, the first thing I would do is take it off the table. That's the first thing. And that is language. That's an expression for her.
Yeah.
When she takes something off the table, she's meaning to say that whatever it is not up for discussion. It's off the table. And the next day she quit her job. She took it off the table, literally.
There you go.
So that's why you want to, listen. You want to listen. I was going to give you, I was hoping to give you like one dream before the interview ends, but I'm so undecided about which one. Oh, my God. So I guess I'll pick Stephen, who... And I'll just tell you that if he grew up in a home with siblings, and if you grew up in a home with siblings, you probably got the message that it's not okay to be selfish, because you hear things from your parents like, go share your toys, go look after your sister. And you just, your whole life experience is about sharing your parents' attention. So you become exercised in sharing. And conversely, if you're brought up in a home as an only child, you don't have to share your parents' attention or your toys, and you get comfortable about looking after yourself. And so sometimes, not always, but often, people who grow up in a home with siblings turn out to be those people that you and I know, myself included, who have trouble saying no. They're always saying yes, even when it's not, doesn't suit them best. So Stephen has a one picture dream of he's climbing up a high ladder and paper is everywhere. It's on the sides of the ladder. It's blocking his way to continue up. And up at the top of the ladder is his college roommate who he hasn't even seen in the last 20 years. And so using a symbol's point of entry, I asked him to tell me, what are the first two or three things that come to your mind about that person? And what he said was he was a selfish, take care of me first kind of guy. That's how he described him. And the reason, the situation that triggered Stephen's dream was because of all the work that he had on his desk and all the paper everywhere. And I suppose he uses the ladder to get up on the corporate ladder to be making more money. And there's paper everywhere. And his friends called him to invite him to go see a movie. And because of Stephen's background, he just didn't have what it takes to say no. And he didn't even want to go to a movie. He wants to be at work to finish up and clear up the paper on his desk. So he dreams about this person who he associates as a take care of me first kind of guy. And that's who's encouraging him up the ladder in the dream, because the roommate's at the top. And so because he understood the metaphor, after we did the analysis, the next day, Stephen called his friends and accessed a bit of that potential and told his friends, I'm sorry, I'm not going to go to a movie with you. I really want to be by my desk and clean up all the paper and all the work I need to do.
You know, this whole aspect of dream analysis to me is fascinating, because To me, it's akin to doing these radio interviews that I get the chance to go into someone else's world and find out where they're coming from. But in the case of a dream, and mine in particular, I get to go into my own world that I am not necessarily consciously aware of to get a better understanding of who I am and why I am the way that I am. And a lot of people talk, of course, about, you know, coming into this world. You know, we sign this contract before we come into this world to have certain experiences. However, the contract is not written in stone. You can change the contract as you go. That's the beautiful yes. thing about it, that you can choose to go through those challenging experiences or say, you know what? I get it. I'm not going to do that this time because I've had enough of that. It's like with me, I don't care much for confrontation. I don't care much for that whole dynamic. It just, you know, that's one of the things that I've always had problems in business, where you go into business and you're trying to negotiate. And so I've always heard the tactic was you ask for the moon. You don't want the moon, but you ask for it, so that as you negotiate downward from your perspective and the other person negotiates upward, you eventually get to where it is that you want. And I sit here going, why are we wasting this time? Why don't you just ask for what you want and be done with it? They're either going to give it to you or they're not.
Exactly. But and for many of us, we have to practice the art of asking for what you want.
Yeah.
Because it's not, you know, we're not always exercised in that part of ourself.
Yeah. It's very fascinating stuff. And I'm very grateful that you have taken the time to share with us. Lainey Dalfin, I thank you so much for joining us here on the program. This has been great. And I extend this invitation to every one of my guests, and I extend it to you as well, that if you should ever find yourself here in the Santa Barbara area, we'd love to have you in studio to continue this conversation. This is a lot of fun. And maybe by then I will have remembered a dream that I can have you help me. And that's the key right there. You don't analyze it. You assist in the analysis by asking the right questions, as you put it. So, yeah, if you're here, we'd love to have you.
Thank you so much. That is so sweet. And if you remember a dream before that, you don't have to wait till I come to California. You can call me anytime.
I'll send you the information. Maybe if I don't write it, I'll send you a recording of some sort. Also a reminder that if you folks want to go to Have a Great Dream, that's the website, haveagreatdream.com. Also and I'm assuming books 1 and 2, it may or may not stop there. There may be book 3 or 4, or is this basically the compendium that you're having people get a hold of?
Yeah, well, for the moment, those are the two books that I just launched. And and I'm actually speaking in New York next Sunday at the Open Center. I'm doing a full day workshop for those people that are listening that live in the New York area.
And I would recommend them going to your website as well to see other events that are coming up in the coming months and the coming year as we're hurtling toward the end of 2018. And I thank you again. I have 3 final questions for you before we go, and I consider them to be the right questions. The first one is, who is Lainey Dalfin?
Who is Lainey Dalfin? Well, I'm a loving mother who is positively in love with all of my darling daughters and granddaughters. And I also adore my husband and very thankful for all the wonderful people in my life.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
I am just flabbergasted that most of the general public doesn't realize that you are waking up with the best advisor, the best psychologist, the best psychiatrist, and the best friend right inside yourself every morning when you wake up. And I am compelled to get the message out to the general public about all the incredible information that you can access from your dreams.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
I think that is my life's purpose, is to help people understand what the heck you're trying to say to yourself when you have that dream.
Well, Lania, thank you so much again for joining us here on the program, and we do look forward to having you back again, maybe next year, and maybe we'll have some other great information we can share with folks in addition to, who knows, maybe an appearance out here on the West Coast.
I would just love that, and I do go and speak. I'm definitely a speaker, so anybody who wants to invite me to speak, I'm always happy to get on a plane.
There you go. And a website, again, is haveagreatdream.com. And we will be linked, as I said before, and this will be up on SoundCloud, iTunes, as well as the radio show's page of richarddugan.com. I am Richard Dugan, and this has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal and Makushla.